Reverb.
HIVR, supported by the Rainbow Fund, providing information about living positively with the virus.
Hi, my name is Carl, and I'm going to be telling you a little story about myself, how I contracted HIV in 2011. I'm going to start the story by just saying that I'd become quite poorly at the time. I'd had what I now know was seroconversion, which is when HIV entered inside my body, broke it down and went into my immune system. What happened was I had sores in my nose, sores in my mouth, a rash, night sweats, fever, diarrhea, the whole thing, my whole body just collapsed. And I remember this particular weekend that I was quite poorly, and it had, you know, we've all had sniffs and coughs and stuff, and they keep you in bed for, you know, a day or two, but this was slightly different. And I think the thing that was slightly different was the night sweats that I'd had. The night sweats were really intense, where they sort of drenched the whole of my duvet cover, me, my pillows, everything. And the day after I had my worst night sweat, I took myself to my local GP, and he actually gave me 7 days antibiotics to go home with and see how I got on. And I remember taking these tablets, and halfway through the week, I just wasn't getting any better. I could just feel myself just actually getting worse. So I'd booked another appointment with the doctor and said, look, you know, this isn't shifting. Is there anything else we can do? I feel worse. And he just said, no, you've just got to let the antibiotics sort of take their steps and it'll soon sort itself out. So I was like, okay, you know, fair enough. And I got myself into bed and you know, nursed myself. And this was when I was living in Manchester. I live in Brighton now, but I'd had a bit of a break from Brighton and I'd gone to Manchester for a couple of years. And I remember speaking to a friend of mine on the phone in Brighton. He's my best friend. And I told him that I wasn't feeling great and what I'd just gone through and how I was feeling. And he goes, that sounds really similar to what a friend of his had just gone through. And but he was diagnosed with HIV. And I was like, all right. And he said, why don't you go for a HIV test? And I was like, I don't think I need a HIV test. But yeah, I put the phone down to him and it actually got me thinking. I'd just come out of a 7-year relationship with a guy and I'd recently become single. Living in Manchester as a single guy and I had unprotected sex 4 times. And I actually did think to myself, actually, my mate's right. I think I should take myself for a test. And I'd gone to a charity in Manchester called Body Positive, who are sadly not around anymore. But they were an amazing charity across the country. And I'd gone to this place to have a test. And I remember going into the room and the consultant in front of me said, so why are you here today? I said, well, I haven't been feeling great and I have had some unprotected sex in my time and maybe it's time for me to have a HIV test. So he said, right, okay. And he said, what would it mean to you if you got a positive result today? And I was like, I don't really know. I'm sure I'll deal with it. But I'm sure I'll be fine and everything will be okay. So he took a finger prick test where they take a tiny bit of blood from your finger, drop it on a strip of paper. One dot comes up, HIV is not detected, but 2 dots come up and HIV is detected. And he said, let's wait 20 minutes. So he took me out into the waiting room, waited 20 minutes and came back in. And before I'd even sat my bum on the chair, he came out with it and said, Carl, I'm afraid you're HIV positive. And, oh, gosh, taking myself back to that particular day is, yeah, it's quite difficult because I was on my own. I didn't take a friend with me, which, looking back, I wish I had now. And I was like, okay, well, I'm HIV. What next? What do I do? I had, you know, tears in my eyes. I was very confused. I assumed that it happened to other people, that it wouldn't happen to me. And that was the complacency I had with the reason why I contracted HIV, I suppose. So they gave me some leaflets and, you know, information, and they actually asked me to come back the next day to go to Manchester General Infirmary, because that was just an indication that HIV is detected in your body. The next step, it was to sort of find out exactly how much HIV is in my body. Is it at danger point? Should I start medication and so on? So I remember going out of the building and going into my car and turning the radio on, and the radio just came on automatically, and it was a really weird song. It was the song Taking Your Life from Negative to Positive, and it was Pitbull, of all strange things. And that song came on, and the lines sprung out as soon as I turned my engine on, which was Taking Your Life from Negative to Positive, and I'll remember that song forever. And I remember driving out of the car park of the hospital, sorry, of the charity of where I had the HIV test, and I couldn't see the road because I was crying that much. And I thought, well, I can't do this now. I need to pull over. And I remember the first person that I rang was actually my ex-partner's mum. I was really close with her, even though my other, you know, me and my ex-partner weren't together. We were still very close, and I was very close to her. And I just phoned her up and I said, look, darling, I've just been diagnosed with HIV and I don't know what to do. I'm crying and this and that. I don't know. And she calmed me down and she goes, you know, you've got to get yourself home, get yourself a cup of tea and you know, and take on the information as you can. And I got in the car, you know, and I drove off, and I got home, and I didn't speak to anybody. And I remember crying myself to sleep that particular night. I was pretty lucky because I had two dogs at the time, and they were definitely my main companions through being told that you're living with HIV. And I just want to tell people, one of the main reasons why I did break down so much was because I didn't have any information about HIV. I most certainly wasn't taught it in school, and it just wasn't something that was talked about in my family as well. I was around in the, you know, in the 80s when the, you know, the tombstones and the, you know, the government kind of what they wanted to get across about HIV. I remember those kind of messages, but nothing else. Definitely no positive messages living with HIV. So that's why at the time I was quite distraught about it. So the next morning I got up, went to the hospital, and they took my bloods, and they said that my CD4 count, which is an indicator of how much HIV is in your body, was not at danger point. And they actually confirmed that day that I'd actually been quite lucky in the respect of that I'd actually caught my HIV diagnosis really quickly. I could sort of pin it back to about a month and a half before to picking up the virus. So, you know, I was diagnosed pretty quickly. I think I would have been pretty distressed and distraught that if I'd not gone for a HIV test, and I had gone out there and I had had unprotected sex with someone and passed the virus on, I don't think I could have lived with myself. So I'm glad I got tested early, and I found out what I was living with, and that it wasn't flu. It was HIV entering in my body. And I just, you know, remember going home that day, and there's so many questions that I went to the hospital for, you know, to ask the nurses, and I didn't end up asking them maybe not even one single question. I was just taking everything in. And the guys at the hospital were amazing. They gave me some information. They gave me some local charities in Manchester. It was actually GHT, which is the George House Trust in Manchester. And I contacted them and I started to go to groups that, with people that were in the same situation as me. Just, I was a gay man living with HIV, and I just wanted to be with people around that were dealing with that situation as well. So at this point, I hadn't really told any of my friends and family. It took me about a week to sort of get my head together before I could even divulge the information to anybody else. And I think there's always a reason why you would tell someone that you're living with HIV. Is it going to benefit them? Is it going to make them worry too much? Are they going to think that you're dying? And there's all those things that, roll around your head when you think about that you may tell somebody. And rightly or wrongly, I picked on my mum and dad, and I thought, right, I'm going to tell my mum and dad that I'm living with HIV before anybody else of my friends and family. And I remember the day really well. It was the 23rd of July, 2011, and sadly, that was the day that Amy Winehouse passed away. And I remember waking up that particular morning, turning the telly on, and an amazing star had died too early. In my books, and it was quite sad, but this particular day was the day that I'd chosen. My family were coming from Scotland, and it was a family gathering, so I thought ideal opportunity to just sort of sit them down and tell them. And I went to the house, and I was expecting my sister to be there, and because I wanted to tell everybody together, and she wasn't. She was at the cinema with my nephew, and my mum just knew there was something on my mind. She could tell that mother's intuition that Carl wanted to say something, and she kept badgering me, and she was like, go on, you've obviously come round for a reason. You've obviously want to tell me something. What is it? And I was like, mum, please just leave me. I just wanted to wait for my sister to arrive. I didn't know how long she was going to be. So my mum left the room, and then my dad came in. He was like, your mum said there's something wrong with you. Can you tell your mum what's wrong with you? And I was like, gosh, I'm getting it all from all angles here. So I thought, right, I don't know how long my sister's going to be. So I sat them down at the table, the dining table. And I said, right, mum, okay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm living with HIV, and I want to know you to know that I'm okay. And I'm going to be okay. And I left it at that. There was a very long silence where my mum and dad were gathering their thoughts. I was gathering my thoughts. And my mum stood up at the kitchen table with her head bowed down. And I remember a tear rolling down her face and hitting the table. And I'll remember that day to the day I die. And I remember my dad just looking at me and saying, you're still my son. And then he walked off into the living room and put the telly on. And that was his way of dealing with his son's diagnosis. And then my sister came in and saw me crying and saw my mum and dad crying. And my sister perked up and she went, oh gosh, you've heard about Amy Winehouse dying then, have you? And I was like, oh no, it's not, that's not the reason why we're crying, but that is sad, but I need to tell you something. And she said, what? And I said, well, I've just told mum and dad I'm living with HIV. And my sister started crying instantly, and my mum then perked up and said, get him out the room. And she was actually talking to my nephew. She didn't want my 8-year-old nephew to hear the information. And she said, I don't want him picking up anything. And that was my mum. That was from my mum. That was the discrimination directly from my mum, which was quite hard to deal with. But at the same time, I didn't blame her, because she also had no information about HIV. If you think about when my mum and dad were at school, did they have any sex education about HIV, like I didn't. They probably didn't. So I understood why my mum said that, and she thought that I could pass on HIV to my nephew, but that gave me a kind of base to sort of then go, right, well, this is how I need to educate right now. So I did. It took me about an hour and a half to sit my mum and dad down round the table, got everyone round the table again, my sister, my brother-in-law. And I just, you know, what I've probably missed out is the 2 weeks that I'd gathered my thoughts about HIV. I'd also done a lot of research about HIV myself to find out about HIV. I didn't want to just approach my whole family and then just have no information about it at all. So I told them everything about what my consultants had said and I told them everything. And at the end of it, I remember my mum saying to me, would it be okay if me and your dad come to you, your next HIV appointment, please? And I was like, yeah. This is definitely, I have no problems with you coming to that. And they did. They stuck by their word. And I remember I had an appointment about 2 weeks after that, and they come with me, and my mum took time off work, and they sat there, and the consultant was a bit confused because it was meant to be for a meeting between me and my consultant, but my mum and dad had so many questions that ended up being about them and how they wanted to deal with HIV. But it was really interesting because the consultant was, he wanted to speak to my mum and dad. He wanted to reassure them as well that Carl's going to be fine, he's going to lead a normal life, life expectancy is normal, and so on. So I was quite pleased that they did come along, because it took my job away of trying to confirm that I was going to lead a normal life. A long story short, when it comes to my mum and my dad, they struggled for quite some time, for a good couple of years, with me being HIV, but they actually, my mum was on Facebook, and I was quite open about living with HIV at one point, and I remember going through the dating sites and then going onto Facebook, and some of my friends that had divulged that, you know, that I was living with HIV, they were sending me stuff through Facebook, and I was getting panicky because I was like, oh no, people posting about HIV on my page, and what do I do about that? And so I just told everybody in a Facebook status, and I remember my mum making a statement underneath as well, saying that he's my son living with HIV. And she'd done a really, a full 180 of, you know, not wanting to talk about HIV to talking about HIV on Facebook. So I was really pleased that my mum was quite proactive in that. And I remember my mum also telling me that she'd corrected a couple of members of the family, and the members of the family had phoned up and said, oh, I believe Carl's living with AIDS. And my mum was like, no, he's not living with AIDS, he's living with HIV. HIV is the virus, and, you know, and AIDS is a collection of illnesses that you can get living with HIV. So my mum was also putting people right within the family, and I thought that was great because, you know, it's only me that she'd got the information from, so it was nice to see that my parents had actually come round to the fact that I was living with HIV, and I was being positive about it. So I just touched on very briefly about dating, and, you know, at the time, 9 years ago, when I was first diagnosed, there was not really any apps around for dating. It was all online, and I remember putting online that I was HIV, and I was getting loads of messages coming through. There weren't loads of messages for hookups or coffees or anything like that, but they were actually messages to ask about, well, can I give oral sex to somebody living with HIV? Is HIV, how is it contracted? And I was getting all these messages from guys wanting to know more information about HIV. And then I came up with the idea of changing my profile name to Positively Me, and turning it into a very kind of mini kind of advice kind of line. You know, I wouldn't give out any information that I wasn't too clear on, and I would always look to the Terence Higgins Trust website for any information before I'd sent it across. And that's how I sort of eased myself into being out about living with HIV online, is that it became an advice line. And then, you know, I got in touch with the Terence Higgins Trust and started to volunteer for them, and wanted more of a voice for HIV. And I think I'm pretty open. I remember telling my mum and dad that I was gay, 25 years ago. And it was very similar, sitting them down and telling them that I was living with HIV. And my mum and dad were very proud of me, of coming out publicly about HIV. Currently, I'm happy living with HIV, but I've had my ups and downs. I've had some health scares along my way where I've had a terrible bout of cancer, which I battled and got over, which I'm really pleased and proud about as well. That living with HIV and going through cancer definitely made me a stronger person when it comes to, feelings. And I've found that I haven't really come against too much stigma because I'm so open about living with HIV. I think we are pretty lucky living in Brighton and Sussex, where HIV can be spoken about quite freely. I wouldn't say that's the same for all parts of the country, but I do feel quite comfortable discussing my HIV status on Instagram or Facebook, or I do stuff for local TV and local radio as well. So I do feel as though that I am the voice of people that don't always have a voice for HIV. There's not many people out there that will go out and speak about HIV in an open and honest way. So I did start then volunteering for Terence Higgins Trust, doing information giving in schools about living with HIV, and that is predominantly what I concentrate on now, is going into schools, colleges, universities. To be honest with you, anybody that will listen to my story, I honestly thought HIV wasn't going to happen to me, and that I was immune to it, and you heard about it, but it wasn't something that I worried about. And I think worry is a fine line word. I think we should worry about HIV, but we should worry about it in a positive way. HIV has got easier to live with. It's got easier to talk about, but I still think we've got a long way to go. But all I can say for someone that may be going through HIV themselves in early stages of just being diagnosed, so newly diagnosed, stay positive, talk to your friends, tell people that you're living with HIV that you feel as though that could benefit you. So it was always going to be a toss-up between telling my mum and dad and then making them extra worried about me living with HIV. That was that going to make them worry even more than knowing? But I played that, and it was the way I delivered the information to my mum and dad that didn't make them worry. So if you are telling somebody, maybe it's a partner or a sexual partner or, anything like that, then I do believe honesty, it really does pay, to be honest. But if you are struggling out there, there are places that you can go. The Terence Higgins website is great. That's where I found a lot of my information from. And locally, we've got great charities that also help people living with HIV. So I hope you have enjoyed a little bit of my story today. It's always interesting just to sit down and talk about HIV like this, and looking out the studio window and talking about my story in this way. But hopefully, people get to know that HIV, you shouldn't be scared of HIV. I think the one lesson that I've learned from dealing with HIV is you can't see HIV. The only way that you're going to be able to know if you are or anybody else is HIV is by going through a test. And that's what I would strongly recommend, is going out there and having a test. You've been listening to my story, Carl, Positively Me.
97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.